Hey, online family. We are currently in one of my favorite series of the year. It's a series like no other called At the Movies. It's where we use some of our favorite films to teach spiritual truths, much like Jesus did with stories in the New Testament. Because we are unable to stream our At the Movies content online, you can only experience it live at one of our physical locations. And so for those of you who are unable to join us in person, we wanted to provide you with some unique messages from some of our dearest friends that are going to inspire, encourage, challenge you over these coming weeks. Today, we have the privilege of hearing from my friend, Pastor Justin Daly. He pastors Action Church in Orlando, Florida, Suffering for Jesus down in Florida. He's a great friend. He's an incredible pastor, a great man of God. I know he's going to have a word that's going to help you today. And so I want you to open up your heart, open up your mind, lean in, and get ready to receive from God's word today.
What's up, LifePoint Church? My name is Justin Daly, and I'm the lead pastor of Action Church with four locations all around the Orlando area. And we are big fans of LifePoint here at Action. I want to thank you. Man, if you give or serve to LifePoint, you've been such a blessing to us at Action Church. Your pastors, Pastor Daniel and Tammy, have been great influences in my life, friends, mentors. Your generosity is not just changing Virginia, it's really changing the world. So I wanna thank you for your part in helping build Action Church. You know, I got a message I'm really excited about today. It's called Near Me. Come on, wherever you are, say Near Me. You ever been on Google and type something in and it fills it in? You're looking for a restaurant or a gas station or an attraction. It says attractions near me, food near me. I want to preach a message to you today called Needs Near Me. I don't know if you know this. There are things in your community that you are the answer to the problem. There are needs near you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he writes this. He says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose-living, immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. I want to take this passage kind of phrase by phrase in our time together today, and I want to break it down and talk about how you and I can meet the needs near me, the needs near us. How can we be people that address the needs in our community, in our family, in our classroom, in our businesses, in our spheres of influence? Let's go line by line, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone. See, Paul lived the most of the first part of his life trying to please everybody, super religious, super dogmatic. He cared about what people thought. He tried his best to be the best. And he says right here, even though I am now free of the demands of everyone, to reach the needs around us, the needs near us, the first thing I want you to do, and write this down in your homes, in your offices, in your cars, write this down, acknowledge the needs within you. Before we reach and meet the needs near us, we have to acknowledge the needs in us. We have to find some freedom. Before God uses us to make a difference in our world, he wants to do some things in us. Let me say it this way. He has to do some things in you before he does some things through you. You and I, we need to find freedom. What is that for you today? Is it freedom from approval? Freedom from addiction? Maybe from heartache or betrayal. Maybe like the Apostle Paul, freedom from religion, freedom from shame, freedom from sin, freedom from your past. I know your church has great resources through their groups and pastoral care. What do you need to do? How can you settle yesterday so God can begin to open up your tomorrow of meeting the needs around you? How can we be people that address the needs near us? Here's the next phrase, 1 Corinthians says, I voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Here's the second thing that we need to acknowledge around us. We need to acknowledge that everyone needs Jesus. Everyone. Everyone needs Jesus. Not just the people that look like you, talk like you, and think like you. Everybody needs Jesus. I want to do a little participation exercise, and that may sound a little weird because we're worshiping online together today, but I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus loves me. Come on, LifePoint, I can't see you, but God can. Come on, say it right where you are. Jesus loves me. Second one, Jesus loves you. Thank you, because I'm the only one in the room. Thank you so much. He does. He loves me and he loves you. Look to somebody, maybe text somebody else, maybe somebody that you it's a little harder for you, maybe your brother or sister's in the room. Say, Jesus loves you too. Come on. Here's where it gets a little harder. Say this. Say, Jesus loves the people I don't know. He does. Repeat this. Jesus loves the people I don't like. It's a little tougher. Here's the last one. Jesus loves the people not like me. Here's what I've come to find in my time of ministry, in my time reading the Bible, my journey following Jesus, that everybody is somebody. Everybody is somebody that Jesus died for. Doesn't matter what they've done to you, how hateful they are, how ridiculous their mistakes are. Everybody is somebody that Jesus died for. And we acknowledge that everyone needs Jesus. I wrote this down in my notes. I hope it helps you. I said this. He doesn't change us to accept us. He accepts us so he can change us. The Bible declares that while we were still sinners, all of us, you and me, maybe even following Christ for a long time. Remember back when you were sinful, back when you were lost. We are all sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for me and Christ died for you. He accepts us into his family. It's called the process of justification. He accepts us in, and then he walks out a journey through the Holy Spirit's power, the process of sanctification, to make us look more like Jesus. He accepts us so he can change us. We need to be more accepting of people, more empathetic, more compassionate. What I've found is oftentimes as Christians, we can either connect or we can correct. Connect or correct. You can't do both. When you're dealing with people who don't know Jesus, who have not given their life to him, you can connect with them relationally or you can correct them. Come on, we've all seen those people. Maybe you saw them today. You're watching on a social media outlet. People, Christians, that just call out all that's wrong with the world. Why in the world are we correcting people who don't believe what we believe? We're called to connect with our community, connect with our family, connect with our coworkers and our classmates so that we may get the opportunity to reach them with the gospel. I want to be clear, LifePoint, that as a church here at Action, in your church, we are called to correct Christians. That if you are a believer, one of the church's functions is to help you look more and more like Jesus. Obviously, it's the Holy Spirit's job through conviction. But what I've found is oftentimes people make us better. So we're not called to correct the world. They don't believe everything we believe. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of breath. But we are called to correct our fellow Christ followers, making sure that all of us are producing the fruit that God is calling us to produce. In fact, when Paul writes to Timothy in the New Testament, Timothy leading the church in Ephesus, 66% of what he tells him is correction. He says, correct, rebuke, and exhort all the believers, to correct them, to call them out, to discipline them, and then to encourage them. The church's job is to encourage you, but oftentimes that will be tough conversations, convicting conversations that will call us into a higher standard. We can connect or correct the outside world, but as believers, we are called to correct so we look more and more like Jesus. It says Paul served others by setting aside his own rights. And here's my question to you. Is your fight for your rights or to be right leading people to Jesus? I believe when our goal to reach people near us, to solve and figure out the needs near us, sometimes we're fighting to be right or for our own rights instead of actually reaching people where they are. We must acknowledge that everyone meets Jesus. Here's the next one, 1 Corinthians 9. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. Here's the next one if you're taking notes. Acknowledge that meeting needs may cause us to be uncomfortable. That if I acknowledge the needs around me, that I may be uncomfortable meeting those needs. You know, oftentimes we make it harder for people to come to church than it is to get to heaven. And some people aren't ever coming to church until we go to them. At Action Church, we say we reach people where they are, and to reach people where they are, we have to go to where they are. And that requires some creativity. That requires some uncomfortable situations and conversations. We have to go to where they are. I've heard this one time from a mentor of mine. Says, I don't have to be like them to reach them, but I do have to like them. I don't have to be like them, but I do have to actually like them. I hear all the time, you know, I love all people, but I don't like all people. No, I think we're called to actually enjoy people and have a heart for people. We acknowledge that meeting needs may cause us to be uncomfortable, may put us in some situations and some relationships that aren't inside our comfort zone. I don't have to be like them, but I do have to like them. But we have to earn the right to reach people. We have to earn the right to preach the gospel by meeting practical needs. You know, the Bible talks about this in Matthew chapter 5 as well. It calls us as believers to be salt and light. Have you heard that before? We're called to be salt and light. And I don't know about you, but I love some salt. How many of you, there's not enough salt or spice that you can put on your food, on your snacks, on your appetizers. Let me ask you this. How many of you are sweets people? Or more like spicy or salty people? I'm salty. Give me appetizers or something spicy over dessert any day. Salt adds flavor to something. It spices it up. Have you ever noticed if something doesn't have enough spice or enough seasoning, enough salt, that it's bland? And the Bible calls us to be salt. It doesn't call us to be bland. If it doesn't have enough salt, you can't tell the difference. And too many Christians are like something that is unsalted, too bland, too docile, too much fitting in with the world. It's not enough salt. But on the other hand, some of you, have you ever had too much salt? Come on, you got kids in here, they open up the wrong way and they dump salt all over their eggs or all over something and completely ruin it. You ever had something that you just, when it's too salty, you can't even stand it. You spit it out. It's too salty. Some of us are blending in too much with the world. Others of us are just too salty. Some Christians are just, it's just too much. Come on, hashtag too salty. It's gross. And we're turning people off by being over the top and just too salty. But the right amount of salt, the perfect amount of salt makes it taste good, adds the right amount of flavor. That's what you and I are called to be. We are not the main course. We are not the meal. That's Jesus. Jesus is the point. But as Christians, we're called to make it more appetizing. We're called to make it more appealing. We're called to make our life or live our life in such a way that it draws people in. It's the same thing with light. Man, if you're in a dark room, but there's not enough light, you can't see. And we're called to be light spiritually. And if we are not bright enough, we will not show people the right way. But have you ever had a headlight in your face or somebody turned on their high beams on the road and it's just too much and you can't see anymore? Some Christians are too salty or too bright, but the right amount of light shows you your next steps and brings clarity. You and I are called to be that salt and that light to a lost world that needs to know the power and the hope and the love that we found in a relationship with Jesus. Here's the next thing that we need to acknowledge to meet the needs near us. It says this, I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. Here's the next thing we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge that change and creativity is not just okay, it's needed. That the message never changes, but the methods in which the church uses always will. He says, I've become just about every sort of servant. It means whatever it takes, whatever the need is, wherever I have to go, whatever I have to say. Obviously not sinful or not a lack of morality or character, but changing things because different people need different methods to change. Again, same message, always evolving and changing our methods. The New Testament does this. When the Gospels are written to the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the God's chosen people, they're written and the description or the focus or the examples would have been Old Testament examples, would have been big on genealogy and patriarchs and the history of their people. It was writing to them in their place and their understanding, appealing to their history. But when Paul begins to preach and when this gospel is preached to the Gentiles, it doesn't talk about a God of the Old Testament, a patriarchal God. It talks about the God of creation because he knows to the Gentile people, the Old Testament patriarchs and law and all of that history will mean nothing to people that didn't grow up in those methods. What Paul is showing us through his preaching, through his presentation to both Jews and Gentiles is the message of Jesus never changed, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody gets to the Father but through the Son. The message never changed, but how he delivered it, how he seasoned it, how he explained it always did. Creativity was a part of the process. So what that means is, we should care a lot less about how people are being reached, about how the needs are being met in our community, and we should care more about the actual person, about who's being reached, and about what's being said. Let me be very clear. What is being said is important. It's non-negotiable. The truth of the message of Jesus Christ, who we're called to reach, all people. For God gave his son Jesus to us, his one and only son, that whosoever, again, everyone, whosoever would believe in him can have eternal or everlasting life. The who and the what matter, the how will always change. And I really believe you're in a place that gets it. I know at Action Church we do as well, always committed to stretching and growing and learning so that we keep the message simple and clear, but the methods are always getting better and different and more creative to stretch our comfort zone, but reach people where they actually are. You know, these needs need to be met because the message is important. We say it like this at Action Church. We meet the needs so that we can arrange the meeting with Jesus. That oftentimes we have to meet a practical, tangible need around us before we're invited into the conversation to share the message of Jesus. Here's the last one as we get ready to close our time together today. The last phrase here in 1 Corinthians 9. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Here's the last thing. Write this down. Acknowledge. Come on, you got to catch this. Acknowledge that just acknowledging will never be enough. Come on, that's simple. That's good. That's easy. Acknowledge that acknowledging will never be enough. We have to acknowledge, but at some point, to meet those needs, to operate in God's will, we need to take some action. When there are needs around you, when how many Netflix people in the online community today love Netflix? Come on, Hulu, Paramount, Amazon, you've got them all. You have to scroll through several pages to get all your outs. So I want to talk about Netflix. So Netflix always has the top 10 trends, the top 10 movies or shows, top 10 things that they think that you will like. I want to give you 10 trends right now that are near you. They're near me. There are trends, there are needs in your community, in our community. Here's 10, and these aren't the only 10, and they're not in any specific order, but I just want to show you there are needs around you. Come on, everybody around you needs Jesus. Salvation is indeed near me. Come on, people finding freedom from what hurt them in their past. That is a need near you. Number 3, people finding their God-given purpose. Knowing that you were created on purpose and for a purpose. Ephesians 2, that God had something for you to do and then he created you to do it. That is a need in every person. Everybody that has ever breathed air off this planet has a purpose, and it's a need of theirs to find it. Quote some needs near me: education of young people, specifically in economically challenged areas. That's a need that you and I can meet. Come on, serving the poor or the unsheltered in our community. Come on, fighting for the life of the unborn and fighting for the life of children in poverty. Another need near you: racial reconciliation. In a world that's divided, we can be people that reconcile back together. Human trafficking and sex slavery. Come on, needs near us: training godly kids with a solid foundation in God's word and his truth. Needs near me is training up places and creating environments through Life Point Church and Action Church where young people can find their own relationship with God. These would be 10 trends or 10 themes, a top 10 for your church and my church, the local church. Have you ever watched Netflix so long that you get that pop-up? Come on, be honest. Come on, do some self-reflecting right now. You've watched so long. Come on, you and I, we are so much of a loser at that point. We've been watching for hours. And then that pop-up comes on your Netflix. If you've seen this before, I know I have. I'm guilty as well. It has this question: are you still watching? Because it knows there is no way humanly possible that this person has watched 11 episodes in a row. Come on, it is 4 a.m. and you just keep clicking next episode, next episode. It asks you that. Catch this, it asks you that because it assumes you left or that you're asleep. And what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying today, if we don't begin to acknowledge these needs and meet these needs, he's asking us, are you still watching? Like, how are you asleep? I made that list. How are you not noticing? How are you still stagnant, asleep, scrolling through? Here's the question that I want to ask you today. It's not, are you still watching? It's, how are you still watching? And I hope that that conviction hits you right now, that you've been a part of Life Point Church or you've been a part of another church, and with all of these needs and all of these places that we can serve, these people that are hurting, that you and I can and are called to be that solution. How are we still sitting? How are we still consuming? How are we still waiting? How are we still just acknowledging and not taking action? How? How are you and I still watching? And then what is God calling you to do? What outreach is he calling you to start? What resource is he calling you to give? What idea is he calling you to invest? What relationship, what friendship? Paul says, I didn't want to just talk about it, I wanted to be in on it. And that's what I invite you to do today. There are needs near you. There are people near you. There are relationships near you that need to be restored. And I believe that God can heal it, God can change it, God can meet it. But I believe that a lot of times you and me are the answer to that problem. We are the solution to that problem. So I wanna close our time together today praying for you, praying that God would reveal the needs near you and then give you supernatural clarity and wisdom to begin to meet those needs as well. Would you pray with me today, Life Point? God, we love you. And God, we thank you for your word today in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I thank you for the challenge that Paul issues to us to be different, to be more creative, to be more flexible, to be more intentional with our time, with our relationships. God, I pray right now that you begin to change us. Come on, me included, and everybody worshiping with us right now. Change something on the inside of us. Allow the needs that are going on in our life to be supernaturally met in Jesus' name. Come on, freedom in Jesus' name. Peace in Jesus' name. Hope in Jesus' name. And then as you work out those things in us, allow us to look outside of ourselves. Come on, to our family, to our workplace, to our spheres of influence. And Holy Spirit, allow us to see those needs and then practically begin to meet them. That we're no longer gonna be a church or a group of people that watches, We want to be in on it. We want to serve. We want to give. We want to use what you've given in us, what you've changed in us to make a difference in Jesus' name. We thank you for meeting us here today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, we hope today's message spoke to your situation and was helpful to your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're posting new content every week. And also, if you'd like to partner with us financially, you can click the link below. You know, it's thanks to the generosity of people like you that we're able to meet the needs of people all over the world. So thank you for making a difference and helping deliver this message to the people that need it most. And thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you soon.